Random House Audio presents The Sixth Shotgun, a dramatization of the short story by Louis L'Amour.
Canyon Gap, Arizona Territory, 1887. They were getting ready to hang Leo Carver on Tuesday afternoon, and already the loafers were watching the gallows go up.
Well, what'd he say, Pappy? Think it'll hold him? Mighty big feller, that Leo Carver.
You can say that again.
It'll do, I guess.
Hey, a gallows is a gallows, Pappy.
This was the first official hanging in the history of Canyon Gap. And although this was not the first gallows ever built in the territory, the citizens of the Gap were eager to put their town on the map, as Mort Luan put it, and they were always the kind to go in for style.
I saw proper gallows built once. Jackson City was. That was when they hanged the Watson brothers. A horse thief and a mail robbery. Four at one go. Built a fine gallows that time, I assure you.
Mm-hmm.
The boys from the ranches along the creek were coming in, and the hard-booted men from the mines, and the town's nine saloons were doing land office business. Word had spread quickly about the hanging. In those parts, most folks would have come to see just about anybody or anything get strung up. But it was Leo Carver who was set to hang, and there wasn't a soul who was going to miss it.
Say what you like, Leo was a good man. I'll drink to that.
He knocked you flat out, Bully Taylor. Might as well drink to him, that you might. Bartender, two whiskeys.
Right away, Bob.
How about you, Colette? Care to raise one for Leo Carver? I'm buying.
Why, sure, Bob.
Make that three whiskeys, Rudy.
How are you doing, Bully?
Just fine, Miss Colette. Mm. Just fine. Excepting, like Bob says, Canyon Gap will be a lot less exciting a place to be with Leo Carver gone. Yeah.
Thanks, Rudy. Bully? Colette?
Thanks, Bob.
To Leo, then. Mm.
To Leo.
To Leo. Everybody.
To Leo!
It's been a long time since you bought me a drink, Bob Taylor. We almost never see you over on the street anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon the girls are gonna be mighty unhappy about losing Leo.
Mm.
Ain't that so, Miss Colette?
Leo was always very kind to them. Unlike some others I could mention.
But you're the one that really stands to lose by it. Isn't that so, Colette?
Perhaps. But I gave the girls 3 hours off for the hanging all the same. One for the hanging itself, one for mourning, and one for drinking their tears away. They'll get over it.
I guess I'll let them cheer up a bit before I come around.
Amazing grace, how sweet the...
Leo had been a spending man who would be missed in the palace saloon and in the houses down the street of the cottonwoods. He could sing with a voice as clear as a mountain echo and fresh as a long wind through the sage. And Leo was a dark and handsome man with a devilish twinkle in his eyes and a gun too quick in his hand. So they were building a gallows to hang Leo Carver in Canyon Gap. And the folks were coming in from the hills and from the ranches along the creek where the valley widens out below the town. From behind the barred window of the jail, Leo watched them working.
I see.
Build it high and build it strong, too, for you're hanging the best men in Canyon Gap when tomorrow comes.
Go on, Leo. There'll be others to claim the title. Don't worry.
Across the dusty square where the gallows was going up, old Pap and Scott Taylor and Tom Chafee, the editor of the Canyon Gap Journal, watched the proceedings with gloomy resignation. Old Pap, who had prospected in the broken hills before the first foundation was laid at the Gap, took his pipe from his mouth and spat into the dust.
Leo's right, of course. The Apaches are coming over that hill right now. I'd rather have that Carver boy beside me than any man Jack in this town.
Editor Chafee nodded his head.
Nobody will deny that he's a fighting man. Leo was all right, till civilization caught up with him.
Yep. Well put, Chafee.
Scott Taylor, brother of Bob and Bully Taylor and the eldest of the clan, couldn't help but agree.
Could be Leo's epitaph if he wanted one. Yeah, not his style, though. Not like him to die, really.
There'll be some who'll feel a sigh of relief when they spring that trap.
The sheriff will breathe easier anyway.
Yeah, better be careful what you say. Sheriff Jones doesn't want folks to be saying bad things about him.
Particularly in an election year. I just wish there was something more I could say on Leo's behalf. He's cooked his own goose, really.
If I were you, I'd mind what trouble I stirred up.
Scott's right. There's quite a few men who'll stop sweating when Leo's neck gets stretched. The sawbones says the last words over him. You can bet on it.
Perhaps, but I think most folks would be sorry to see him hang. Those that knew him, anyway. I only wish the others could know the truth.
Sometimes the truth is a luxury, Editor Chafee, which few but the elderly can afford. You better mind what Scott says if you know what's good for you.
The three men continued to watch in silence as the gallows went up. Chafee's expression was gloomy. There was no living doubt that Leo Carver was an outlaw. No doubt he had rustled a few head here and there. No doubt that he had offended the nice people of the town by carousing in the saloons and down along the street. There was no doubt either that he had stuck up the stage that night on the Rausensock. But from there on, there was doubt aplenty. Mitch Williams was dead, sure enough. Buried out on Boot Hill along with the others gone before him. Mitch Williams rode shotgun for the stage line, and he had never lost a payload until that night on the Rausensock. The night when Leo Carver stuck up the stage. But it was a strange story no matter how you looked at it. And Leo Carver was a strange man. A man of dark moods and happy ones. A man with a queer streak of gallantry in him. And something of a manner all his own. Pete Spender had been driving the stage that night when Leo Carver stepped from the brush with a brace of six guns in his hands.
Hold up there!
Mitch Williams was riding shotgun. Leo was wearing a mask, and he had pulled his hat down so that all the two men up on the box could see were his eyes.
Easy.
But they both knew it was Leo right away.
Hold those horses, Pete. You. Scott, you can throw down that... Why, I'll be, if it isn't Mitch Williams.
Now, Mitch Williams was a hand.
Hey, fella.
He had that shotgun over his knees, but the muzzle was pointed away from Leo. Mitch could never have swung that shotgun around under Leo's gun. Mitch knew it, and so did Pete Spender. Leo Carver had that stage dead to rights, and he had Mitch Williams helpless.
I'm sorry, Mitch. I thought this was your night off. I'd never rob a stage you were on, much less shoot you or make you shoot me. So long. Get out! Pow!
And he was gone. That was Leo for you. That was why folks liked him along the Gila River, and why, as far away as the Nueces, they told stories about him.
Ooh-wee! That was a close one!
You said it, Pete! Let's go! Yeehaw!
But what happened after that was stranger still. The stage continued on south into the night. It crossed over the mountains through Six Shooter Gap, and was nearing the top of the last grade when there was another holdup. There was a sudden blast of fire from the rocks, and Mitch Williams toppled dead from the box. And then another blast. It sounded like a shotgun. And Pete took a header into the brush and coughed out his life there among the mesquite. Inside the coach, the passengers were sitting still and frightened. They heard somebody crawl up to the strong box and throw it down. They heard the box hit the dirt. And they continued to listen in stunned silence as the man climbed down, picked up the box, and prepared to ride off.
Yeah!
One horse and one rider. Only when they had heard the sound of the man's horse departing did they dare to venture out of that coach to see what had happened.
My word, it's the shotgun messenger. He's dead.
Shot the driver, too. Never knew what hit him. It surely wasn't their lucky night. Held up two times.
The next morning...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?